So here I am in the largest cathedral in Georgia. Here I'm in Tbilisi on the, let me think about this, the northern side of the city. It's bisected by that river. And look at this. Well, it's not really focusing. Oh, it's focusing now. Enormous painting of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit above him. If I go out, you get an idea of the scale of the thing. So it's very, very high. There's something in the mind that associates height with the sacred. Praise the holiest in the height, and so on, as the hymn goes. Look at that. Much of it's empty, and I saw this crucifix, and it's got the Romanov symbol, the double-headed eagle with the two crowns. Down low, ladies covering their heads, men not to, according to the dress code. Look here. You see the double-headed eagle. Anyway, lots of icons around. The Georgian Autocephalous Church, as in they've got their own head, is what they mean. And writing in Jordan, I don't know how ancient some of these are. So fortunately the Soviets didn't destroy too many of these things. But this one does look very new. So some things are extensively reconstructed. Often in the Soviet era, they were confiscated in that 1930s anti-religious campaign. And they were repurposed to be anything, schools, granaries, whatever, accommodation. And there's a monastery and there's a convent attached to this one. So you see loads of images of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the child Jesus, people lighting candles. You notice there's almost no chairs because people stand throughout worship. And here's the cathedral of the bishop. And it's behind the rood screen there that the action takes place, as you'd have found in medieval Catholic church. And I've been to worship, not in this one, but in other Georgian churches. And the priests face away for the people because it's not a performance. This is for God, it's not for human beings. So yeah, everybody stands, people are coming and bowing, crossing themselves several times. There's the most magnificent chanting. It's a quite otherworldly experience. It's deliberately ill-lit, and this dimness, it emphasizes mystery. We can't really understand things. And look at this full-scale model of the Holy City of Jerusalem. And then there's, look how intricate the woodwork is there on the door. I hope you get some sort of idea of the handiwork, of the detail on it. It's not really focusing very well, but anyway. So it's just replete with these images, people bowing to them. So much of it is sympathetic magic and believing that the correct propitiations will bring desired outcomes, health-wise, in exams, in your personal life, anything, promotion, the avoidance of disaster. Anyway, and then up here, more people can be sitting. So they have the most magnificent choirs, and of course they're intoning the different priests. They have to be able to sing, have a fantastic memory. These memorious priests have to be able to sort of recite a litany of perhaps 3 hours duration without referring to a note. Some of them singing Bassa Profundo, rolls of all voices. There are archdeacons, cantors, whatever, sacristans, sextons, and I can't remember what the other offices are. Lector. And it'll come to me. And then ladies are allowed to sing as well, female choirs. And the air will be heavy and heady with incense. So there's a complete sense of re-experience. It's quite mystical. So yeah, very gratifying. I was on Sunday, yesterday at a church. Anyway, so that's probably enough. This cathedral, I got permission to film this. I didn't have to pay, but they're big. A few beggars around. I did feel very sorry for one old woman who seemed to be quite severely disabled. So that'll be like a last look at the cathedral. Right, and there's the exit. There's that nun who gave me permission to film. I'll switch it off now.